So we're on the top of Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, and we're going to talk about what's called a Bracha Smucha L'Charetah. And if you recall, we have different types of brachas. We have what's called a Matbea Aruch, a very long bracha that has many, or at least two different motifs. And that opens with a bracha, a baruch, and closes with a bracha. It has its own chasima. And then we have what's called a matbea kotzar, which is a single themed bracha, like birchas haperes, birchas hamitzvos. And that has just one flowing bracha. It's not a psicha and a chasima. Then we have a case of a bracha arucha, but it's smucha l'charita. And that's going to be a case where we have only a chasima and there's no psicha. So smucha l'charita means that the psicha of the previous bracha covers even the second bracha. So for example, in Berachas Kriyat Shema, the bracha of Emes Liyatziv in Shachris, or Emes Vemun in Arvis, has no psicha, even though it's a matbea aruch, because it's smucha l'charita. And now we're talking about a case of Yesh Mehem Shechosein Bohem Bebaruch, the Eina Poseach Bebaruch. So you'll only have a chasima, because it's a bracha arucha that needs a chasima, but it doesn't have a psicha because it's a bracha smucha l'charita. Like we mentioned, the Emes V'yatziv of Kriyat Shema, Emes Mamun of Arvis, that's called smucha l'brachas rishonos of Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema is not a hefsek between the brachas rishonos and the brachas rightly that precede Kriyat Shema. Because after all, when you think about it, if you want to get a psicha for Emes V'yatziv because it's smucha l'charita, we have Kriyat Shema in the middle, because the psicha is going to be before the Kriyat Shema. But Rashi points out that the Kriyat Shema is not a hefsek. Why? Because these brachas were established on Kriyat Shema. So Kriyat Shema is sandwiched by the bracha lifnei and the bracha l'achreh, the two brachas, and so forth and so on. So that's called bracha smucha l'charita. That's the psicha of the previous bracha patters up the next bracha that comes right after, because they're part of a series of this one overriding theme that combines them together. So you have a seder brachos. That's why, for example, all the brachos in Shmona Esrei do not open up with a psicha, because they're all smuchos l'charita. Now, according to some Rishonim, the chasima of the previous bracha serves as a psicha to this bracha. The other way of interpreting it is that the psicha of the previous bracha counts as the psicha of this bracha. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tov Lamed writes that Me'achar ve'inyan ha'brachu kidei laharos shakol miyad ha'bori yisvarach u'sholit v'adon al kol. So the concept of a bracha is to demonstrate that everything comes from God. He's the creator, he controls the world, he's the master of the universe. He's already expressed that in the previous bracha. He doesn't have to reiterate what he's already said. And we don't want kfeilus. You know, once is enough. You don't have to repeat it a second time. He needs another bracha because now he's coming to ask for something from Hashem. Ata bolavakish dover nosav. And b'siyam ha-brachos, it's hogun v'roy to be chosein with a bracha. Again, the chasim has to have a baruch to it. Kidei lahazkir v'loseis es libo pam nosefes in kabolos malchuso v'adnuso yisbara. So he needs another kabolos adnus at the end of the bracha, and that's going to be the chasima. So that's called chosei b'hen b'baruch, the ein hoseach b'baruch. And now we have a great example of hatov ha-meitiv. On the one hand, hatov ha-meitiv is poseach b'baruch. So what's going on over here? If we have a principle called smucha l'charita, And that's why, for example, the second bracha of Birkas HaMazon, which is no delicha, that, you know, that's the bracha of the Aretz, that doesn't open with a baruch. And the bracha after that doesn't open with a baruch. Why is HaTov HaMeitiv open with a baruch? Right? So Bnei Yushalayim HaKadosh Bnei Yemeinu doesn't have a psicha. And since both Birchas Aretz and Birchas Yerushalayim, that both of them are missing psichas because they're all smucha lechavrata, so then HaTov HaMeitiv shouldn't have a psicha. And the answer must be michlal. The only way of interpreting this is that the bracha b'fnei atzmahi, that the bracha of HaTov HaMeitiv is an independent bracha. It's an entity unto itself. It's not part of the Seder HaBrachos. And in fact, it really has very little to do with the theme of Birkas HaMazon. It's all about HaTov HaMeitiv, which was established as a bracha for Kvuras Haruge Beitar, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. So it's a separate Hodah, and it requires a Psicha. I'm not sure why it doesn't get a Chasima. But first, let's ask a more basic question. So if HaTov HaMeitiv is an independent bracha, why was it established as part of Birkas HaMazon? And the answer is because the Seuda is called a Makom Simcha. And that's a moment and a location, that's a time and a place that is fitting for Hodah, for all the great Tova. And for example, there's a takana of reciting HaTov HaMeitiv on a better yayin, if they bring you a second, a high quality yayin. Or for example, on Shmuos Tovos, you hear some good news, you say HaTov HaMeitiv. On Gishomim, if the rains come down, you make HaTov HaMeitiv. And all this is because you're in a state of simcha, because you have Rov Tova.
Looks like Tosfos addresses the question.
Yeah, I'm going slowly here. So okay. I want to just start with the Abu Jaham, okay. And then Lina will lead up to Tosis. Now the Abu Jaham goes on and he says that they attached this bracha of HaTov HaMeitiv in benching to the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim, and that's based on Yerushalmi in Brachos, in the seventh parak of Brachos, which is and it says in the Yerushalmi that Kishenechreva Beitar, when Beitar was destroyed, Nigda'a Keren Yisrael, right? The beauty or glory of Israel was completely cut down. V'ena Asida Lachzor Ad Sheyavo Ben David. And the Keren Yisrael would only be reestablished when the Mashiach comes. L'chein samchu bracha zu l'bonei shalayim shemivakshin bo ala osit. So that since bonei shalayim is all about a bakasha of v'nei yushalayim rakosh v'nei v'meinu, and we're talking about the osit, about the end of days, about the Mashiach, now it's appropriate to thank Hashem for this great tova of Kvuras Haruge Beitar. And perhaps the tova of Haruge Beitar also has to do with Tchias HaMeisim, the fact that the Haruge Beitar are gone, but they'll be revived. And now we have Tosus Divya Maskil Vahatov. Tosus asks, why is an Ochasima in Birchas HaTov HaMeitiv? It's a bracha rucha, and they answer that mitchila niskeno bracha zu ki bracha ktsara. So in the original formulation, they established it as a short bracha. Rakli acher mikan, later on, hosifu ba, they added a whole bunch of things. Number one, they added shalosh malchios, shalosh gemulos, shalosh tovos. And Enochinami, in its new formulation, it should require a chasima, but we inherited the original nisuach, the original nusach. Now the Ramban, on the other hand, says that l'chatchila teknua kebrocha arucha. It was from the get-go a complex bracha. And then the question becomes, why is there no chasima? He says, lo tiknu ba chasima bebaruch, shalo rotzu chacham loseis lamayla yoser mishar bracha shal Torah, shehen yu bebaruch, echad vizu b'shtei baruch. Now, I'm not sure what the lomdus here is of this Ramban. That would require an Ian shir, but the basic sketch or the outline of what he's saying is that we have Birchas HaMazon as a bracha d'oraisa, and yet there's no chasima. Right? Each one of the brachas has a psicha. Just one second. Does that make sense? No. Hazon sakol al ratzel mazon uvnei bonei v'rach moishav. So what does he mean? Just one second. I had it and I lost it. Shal ratzel lasis mal yosem shar berchas shal Torah. Oh, I see. That's what he's saying. That you have bracha shal Torah that will have no psicha, only will have a chasima, which means that sacha kol they get one bracha, and that's the chasima. Now, in the case of hatova meitiv, if you gave hatova meitiv a chasima, then it would have two brachas. It has the psicha and the chasima. The only thing I don't understand in this Ramban is what about the first bracha of Birkas HaMazon, Birkas HaZon. I mean, that opens up with a psicha, obviously. It also ends with a chasima. So I'm not sure why. It seems like there is a precedent for a bracha d'oraisa to have both a baruch as a psicha and another baruch as a chasima. But maybe because the other two brachos of Kriyat Shema only have a chasima without a psicha, and now we're attaching hatov ha-meitiv right on the heels of the other two brachos, which are d'oraisa, which is interesting unto itself. If that's what the Ramban has in mind, they have to go through the Ramban carefully, then all three brachos of Birkas HaMazon are d'oraisa. And I think that that's not a radical shita. V'yomer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, teida da tova meitiv lav d'oraisa. I have another proof. Shaharei Lidas Rabbi Akiva Okrin Oso Beis Ovel. This is a bracha that we omit in a Beis Ovel Kedisanya. We have a brisa with regard to the fourth bracha of Birkas HaMazon. Mahim Omrim. What do they say? Beis Ovel. And the Tanakhama says Baruch HaTova Meitiv. In other words, they should say the entire Birkas HaMazon, including the fourth bracha. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, then in a Beis Ovel we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Now, what's going on over here? Let's first start with the Tanakhama, and then we'll get to Rabbi Akiva. So the Tanakhama says Mayim Omrim Beis Ovel Baruch HaTova Meitiv. So the Gemara immediately asks HaTova Meitiv in, is that the only bracha that they recite in a Beis Ovel? Dayan HaEmes Lo. And again, back in the day, they had a bracha of Dayan HaEmes for Avelim that was integrated into Birkas HaMazon. You might see it in some of the Sidurim. Not everyone is so makpid about it. But not in this question of the Gemara thinks that the Tanakhama here is completely omitting Dayan HaEmes. Ela Ema, but we have to rewrite the Chachamim here, Af HaTova Meitiv. Then in the Beis Ovel, we have to, in addition to Dayan HaEmes, we have to recite HaTova Meitiv. So, according to Tanakhama, we recite both HaTova Meitiv and Dayan HaEmes. If that be the case, then Rabbi Akiva, who disagrees with the Chachamim in the Tanakhama, in this price, said he says Baruch Dayan HaEmes, he must be referring to Dayan HaEmes alone, without Hatova Meitiv. And that would only make sense if Hatova Meitiv is the Rabbanim. If Hatova Meitiv were to rise, how could Rabbi Akiva omit it in the case of an Ovel? This is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's analysis. Now it's interesting that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brings a raya from Rabbi Akiva, and it's not clear that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and that we omit Hatova Meitiv, because after all, the Tanakhama says that we recite both Hatova Meitiv and Baruch Da'ayim Emes. He mentions here that the Rashba says that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brings a raya from Rabbi Akiva, possibly because he holds like Rabbi Akiva, even though the halacha we'll see is not like Rabbi Akiva. That's what we're going to see in a minute from our Zutra. Or it's possible that Rav Nachman holds like the Tanakhama, but he brings a raya from Rabbi Akiva because both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva agree that Hatova Meitiv is not Doraisa, but nevertheless they disagree as to whether or not it should be omitted in a base Ovel. Now the Nusach of Dayan HaEmes is going to be clarified in just a moment. It's Shofet B'Tzedek, etc., etc. Bryce itself doesn't mention the Nusach, because it's just coming to establish the machlokas here between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama. So the Gemara wants to prove again that Rabbi Akiva holds that in a base ovel we omit Hatova Meitiv, and the Gemara proves that from the fact that the Tanakhama has both Dayan Emes, or Emes and Hatova Meitiv, and Rabbi Akiva says Dayan Emes he means only, exclusively Dayan Emes. But rather and with regard to Hatova Meitiv, we're going to omit Hatova Meitiv. It's not appropriate for a base of it. Now the Gemara tells us the Nusach of the Bracha of Hatova Meitiv in a base of it. That's according to the Tanakam, which indicates that we're paskening like the Tanakam against Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak only brought a raya from Rabbi Akiva because he felt that the Tanakhama would agree to the very fundamental assumption of Rabbi Akiva that Hatova Meitiv is Derabbanan, or alternatively maybe Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak paskin like Rabbi Akiva. But our Gemara here, Mazutra, is going to reflect the sheet of the Tanakhama. Ikla lebei Rav Ashi Isra vei Milsa. Rav Ashi had a tragedy, and the Muki Yosef says that he lost his son Nebuch. And now Marzutra is at the base of El. Ukshegia, now he gets to the Bracha Revius. Pasach Ubarich. And now the Bracha that we're about to see is what's called the Birchas Avelim, which is going to be an integration of Hatova Meitiv and Dayan HaEmes. And it opens up with a bracha, Bracha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hakel Hatov HaMeitiv, Kel Emes, Dayan Emes, Shofet B'Tzedek, Lokeach Nefashos B'Mishpat, V'Shalit Ba'Olamo, Lasus Bo Kiritzono, Kichol Drachav Mishpat, Shakol Shalom V'Anachnu Amo V'Avadav, U'Bakol Anachnu Chayovim L'Hodus Lo U'Levarcho, Go there, Protzos be Israel, who Yigdar Sapirza Zos be Israel Lechayim. Now, this addition here of Go there, Protzos be Israel, some have the girsa of Go there, Protzos be Israel as a Tosefes of the Gaonim. You know, there are a few times where the opinions of the Gaonim or words of the Gaonim somehow got written on the old manuscripts of the Shas, and they got integrated into the final Shas. So there's a discussion here about Go there, Protos be Yisrael, as to whether or not that was part of the original Broch in the Gemara, or it was added by the Gaonim. Anyway, there's a Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Marzutra, that bring the Bahag, and many other Rishonim bring the Bahag, who says that we don't have the girsa of lokeach nefashos b'mishpat. If you look in the Rif, he also omits that. And that's based on a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Yesh Misa Belo Chet, Yesh Yisur Belo Avon. And therefore, if there's such a thing that a person could die without sin, the Gemara seems to validate such a premise, then how can we say, Lokeach Nefashos B'Mishpat? B'Mishpat means with din. Well, there's Misa Belo Chet. So the Rishonim say that you don't have to take it out, and Rabbi Yon explains that it would be a tamer gedola to take it out, because this is the nusach in the Gemara. How can we deviate from the nusach in the Gemara? And even though there's misa below chet, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Rachav Mishpat. In other words, God knows why somebody would die. We don't know why. It could be he has no chet, but there's another reason. But whatever that reason is, it's a divine will, and it's part of mishpat. Now, what happened here in our Gemara to the regular classic psicha of the fourth bracha? Hakel, Avinu, Malkeinu, Adireinu, Goleinu, Kedoshenu, Kedosh Yisrael, etc. So the Bach and the Shach assume that it goes without saying that certainly they have to say the beginning of the bracha as it was established by the Chachamim. The Gemara is only formulating the Tosefos that was added. And in fact, if you look in Machzor Vitri, first he brings the regular Nusach and then he brings this Hosafa, and he writes Hosafa Miucheres Leveis Oved. So we're going to have to assume that the regular body of the text of Atov Vameitiv that we always bless Hashem is also part of the Birchas Atov Vameitiv of a Beis Avel, even though it's omitted here in the text of the Gemara. And at this point we go back to the laws of Zimun. Now Rav Sheshes expressed his view that Birchas HaZimun includes the first bracha of Hazanah Sakol. And that first bracha of Hazan, according to Rav Sheshes, is recited exclusively in a Zimun situation. If there are only two people, or certainly only one person, we omit this bracha of Hazanah Sakol. And the Rishonim say that Rav Sheshes would have to agree that the theme of that bracha is going to be integrated into the next bracha, to Birchas Haaretz. But there's no formal bracha of Hazan, because Hazan was established as part of Zimun, and it applies and it's recited only when there is Zimun. Now we want to know what happens, according to Rav Sheshes, if somebody is mitztarif to the Zimun with the rest of his friends that have already concluded their Seuda. So he is joining them after Zimun, and he's coming to eat his Suda. Is Lehechan Hu Chozer? In other words, where should he join them in Birchas HaMazon? The beginning of the Birchas HaMazon is Birchas HaZon, but Birchas HaZon is recited as part of the Zimun. So does he go back to Birchas HaZon like any of the other people who make up this Zimun? Or since Me'achar Sheyotzi Dechov HaZimun, he already heard the Bruch of HaZon from the Mezamein, then he was already Yotzei the Bruch. So let's try to get the scenario here. The case is the following. Ma dino shel misha hitztaref lezimun im chaverov shekodmu v'simu sudosam lefonov. So if I understand correctly, he is going to join with the Zimun. He hasn't yet eaten his Seuda. He's going to hear the Zimun, which is a coin of Sheshes from a Nevarch Shachal Mishalo until after, including the entire Berchas Hazan. And all that he hears, now he eats his Seuda. So when he finishes his Seuda, he's ready to bench, but he's already heard the first Bracha. Does he go back to Birchas Hazan? I'm just a little bit confused at one point. It's clouding my mind here. According to Rav Sheshes, just one second. Birchas Hazimun. Oh, I see. He's going to need Birchas Hazan because he's part of the Zimun. Anyone who's part of the Zimun needs Birkas Hazan, but when he heard Birkas Hazan, he wasn't ready for benching. So in a sense, Birkas Hazan serves two functions, two capacities. On the one hand, it's part of Zimun, but on the other hand, you have to hear it as a bracha mi Birkas Hamazan, as one of the brachas that are integral to Birkas Hamazan. Why? Because once it's a Zimun, then every member of that Zimun has to hear Hazan, so that's fine. But the problem is, this fellow, he comes in so late that he's going to start his Seuda after they finish benching. And the question is, does he repeat Hazan? Because he's Chayv in Hazan because he was part of the Zimun. But the problem is, he heard Hazan before he ate his meal. So we're going to have here a machlokes between Rav Zvid and the Rabban. Rav Zvid, Mishmei Dabai Omar, Chozer L'Rosh. In other words, now he's Chayev in Birkas Hazan because he's one of the members of the Zimun. And his Suda begins with the Zimun, so to speak. And he was Chayev in Birkas Hazan. And now, when he recites his own Birkas Hamazon Chozel Rosh, he has to go back to the beginning of Birkas Hazan, because I guess even though he heard Birkas Hazan, but nevertheless it was before his Seuda, so he needs a Birkas Hazan after his Seuda. Rabbanan Amri L'Mokum Shepasak, he could start with Birkas Ha'aretz, I know the Lecha, because he was already Yotzei his Chova Zimun, and according to Rav Sheshes, the Chova Zimun includes even Birkas Hazan, and he heard Birkas Hazan. So it comes out that according to the Rabbanon in Rav Sheshes, the Birkas Hazan is part of the Zimun, and it never is recited as part of Birkas Hamazon unless it's in the Zimun. So if you're asking this paradoxical question, this person who came in for the Zimun, how is he going to bench without Hazan es Hakol, without the first of the three brachos? And the answer is because that bracha is exclusively part of Zimun. Exclusively, I mean to say, it never exists on its own, independent of Zimun. It's always recited in the framework of Zimun. It cannot be attached to Birkas Hamazon when Birkas Hamazon is being recited outside the framework of Zimun. So as far as the members of this Zimun before I'm talking about the other members, not the one who came late. They were Yotzei all three brachos as an entity of Zimun, meaning as brachos that were attached to the Zimun. Unfortunately, this fellow who came in late, he's going to have to eat his Suda. He needs Birkas Hamazon, which is going to be cut out and disconnected from Zimun. So how is he going to do it? So the second two brachos, which means Ha'aretz and Yerushalayim, those are not part of Zimun. They form a separate, independent entity of Birkas Hamazon. Those he'll recite. But as far as Hazan, which is part of the Zimun, and never emerges as a separate, independent bracha mi Birkas Hamazon, and if you're not part of the Zimun, therefore you don't recite this bracha, so he'll have to be Yotzei Birkas Hazan with the Zimun. Which is so paradoxical because he hasn't even eaten yet. And that's called the Makom Shepasach. The Hilchos Gemara comes to the conclusion, the Makom Shepasach, that we pass like the Rabbanon against Abaye, And basically, he's going to start his benching after he finishes his meal with Baruch Atah Hashem Kedosh Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shenichal Tol Avoseinu, etc., etc. That's Birkat Haaretz. So this is an amazing kind of thing. Let's say, you know, they used to have these quizzes, you know, halacha quizzes for high school kids. This would be an amazing quiz question. Ask a high school kid, when and in what scenario, or is there such a thing, that you could start Birkas HaMazon with Birkas HaAretz? And if the guy is really clever, he's going to say, well, we paskin like the Rabbanan and Rav Sheshes, that Hazan, the first bracha, is part of the Zimun. And if a person has not yet eaten his meal, and he participates in the Zimun, he is going to have to be Yotzei his Birkas HaZohar before he eats his meal, as part of the Zimun. And when he finishes his meal, he's going to start his Birkas HaMazon with Al HaAretz. Al HaAretz Al HaMazon, the noble. Wow, it's pretty wild. Now the Gemara goes back to Divrei Musar and Divrei Derech Eretz in Hilchos Seuda. So in those days they did haseva on mitos, on beds. They used to recline on beds. Each person had his own bed. He would recline and he would do haseva on his left side. His feet were on the ground. He had a little table in front of him where he put his food. And they brought food in front of each one separately. And they put the food on his left side because that's where he inclined. Is it inclined or reclined?
Reclined.
That's where he reclined towards the left. Amalei Resh Galusa L'Rav Sheshes Afal Gav D'Rabbanan K'shishe Atun. Even though you are scholars and Talmid Chachamim, that you know all the minhagim of Suda, but nevertheless, parsoi v'tzarchei su'uda v'kiyim minaychu. It's very sharp language of the Resh Galusa to Rav Sheshes. He says the Parsiim, the Persians, they know minhagi su'uda better than you do. And I do what the Persians do.
Well, that's strange kind of
thing. Right. But this has to do with like what we call Chachma Magoyim Tam. Certain things we have, you know, Minhagi Suda, we have to learn from other countries, in this case the Parsi. And here's what the Resh Galusa tells us. Bizman Sheim Shtei Mitos. In other words, if the Mesubim who are eating at this meal are two people, each one has its own Mita, is Gadol, he who is more Chashuv, is Mesiv Barash. He should first, you know, get his bed. V'sheni lo, and the second one in Chashivus, who's eating together with his friend, is Mesiv Lamala Heimenu. In other words, his mita should be set up near the head of the Gadol. U'zman Shem Shalosh, if the Mesubim are three, so they're lying down on three different beds, is Gadol Mesiv Ba'emtza, then it's a kavod to put the mita of the Gadol between the two mitos of the Sa'adim Imo, if the other two people are eating with him. The Sheni Lo, Lamala Himenu, and the one who's number two, he's going to be above him. In other words, he gets to be close to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is always the more chshivus. And the Shlishi Lo, the third guy, is Lamata Himenu. He goes towards the feet of the Gadol. So it's sort of like a line. So Rav Sheshes doesn't like this idea. Amalei, Rav Sheshes says to the Resh Galusa that according to this minhag of the Parsim, the Sheni b'chashivus is lamala mirosh shel hagadol v'chiboy yishtaruye ba'adei. Let's say, for example, the Gadol wants to converse with the Sheni Lo, and he's not going to be able to do it because the Sheni Lo has his, you know, has his feet lying towards his head. Unless the mitaretz tirutzei v'yosif, he has to straighten himself out, you know, erect. He has to stand on his feet, or maybe he sits up on the bed. And then he's able to converse with him, because if he's lying on the bed flat, then his punim is not to the tzad hasoid anymore. How is he going to talk to him? So wouldn't it make more sense, therefore, that the gadol, that the sheni lo, should be sitting on a mita lamata himenu? If he's below him, then his face, the face of the gadol, is turned towards the sheni. Correct? And then he can kind of converse with him, and it's very, he doesn't have to sit up straight. So why do you put it in such a way that the only, you know, the way you structure the beds is that the only way that the gadol could speak to the sheni is if he sits up erect? Why not do it an easier way and put the sheni low, just one second. I lost my place here. Umishtoibad day. And wouldn't it be better to put the sheni low on lamata himenu? Instead of putting him lamala himenu, you put him lamata himenu. And then when the gadol lifts his face, he's turning towards the sheni, and he can just converse with him. Omar leis reish galus responds, Shani parsoi, the minhag of the parsoim was a little bit different, because everything was done beremes, and they understood each other without speaking. Is demachvile b'mochog, here too, the gadol could speak to the sheni beremiza. He doesn't have to face him. He could just throw up his hands and make hand motions, use his fingers, and that's called beremiza yidei tnuos yodav etzba'osa. So the gadol really doesn't have to stand up erect in order to communicate with the sheni lo, but he could just communicate with him through hand motions. So Rav Sheshes now asks another question to the Reish Galusa. He says, how are the Parsiim knowing the minhag of Mayim Rishonim? Who gets first? Mehecha Maskin, who's going to get first dibs to wash his hands before the Suda? Although later Reish Galusa says their minhag is minhag gadol. So the Rav Sheshes asks on this minhag, he says, Yeshev gadol v'yishmar yadav? Are you imposing upon the gadol that he washes his hands first? And he sits there like a dumbbell, you know, until everybody else washes their hands. Hashanot lud kulon. That's not fair. That's not mechubadik. Amar leis, so the Reish Galusa answers Rav Sheshes, that according to them, minhag, the minhag of the Parsiim, the altar maisu taka kameh. Immediately after Netilas Yadayim, they bring him the shulchan and he begins to eat. He doesn't have to wait until the rest of the olam washes their hands. I'm not exactly sure how you would achieve this in the case of Lecha Mishnah, if you follow what I mean. The Meiri here has a little bit of a different take. He says that Eino Maskil Bachila Liachashikulim Notlu, but Mikavan Shehesim Mishulchan Lufan of Libo Liochlo. Once they brought him out the food, even though he's not going to start eating before the rest of the oil, but nevertheless he's already calm. You know, he's not nervous about watching his hands and so forth. So he's got the food right in front of him. Now Rav Sheshes asks another question. Who gets the first dibs at Mayim Achronim? Amalei, Reish Galusa answers that the minhag of the Parsiim in Mayim Achronim is minhag katan, not minhag gadol. So Rav Sheshes again asks the same question. He says, the gadol yosiv v'yadav mizuhamos? You're going to have the gadol sit around waiting to get, you know, until the Mayim Achronim comes around to him, and in the meantime, his hands are all filthy, achinotlin kulam, until everybody gets a chance to wash their hands. On the lace, the Reish Galusa answers him, lo mesalki taka mikame adinamte mayo legabe. They're not mesalik the shulchan in front of him until they bring him the kli, the vessel for the Mayim Achronim, where the water is. So, even when he's still eating, and others are already washing their hands, he's going to continue eating. And after they finish washing their hands, he stops eating, the gadol. They take away the table, and immediately he washes mayim achronim. So he doesn't have to wait until everybody gets around to washing their hands, and his hands are mezuhamos. They synchronize in such a way that he'll be able to wash his hands immediately after he finishes eating. So he doesn't have to sit around with yodayim mezuhamos. Or Rav Sheshes now brings a braisa about the minhagim of Sud. He says, in response to the Reish Galusa, who says we should follow the minhag of Parsim, I know Masnisi Yadan. I don't know too much about the Parsi, but I know a braisa about the minhagi Sudan, and I follow the braisa. The Sanya, we went to the braisa. Ketzad Seder Haseva Bisman Sheim Shtei Mitos. If the Mesubim are two people, each one gets his own mita. Is Gadol Mesiv Barosh? The Gadol is going to first, you know, recline on his mita. V'sheni lo lamate meno. And he'll be below him. Now, again, in the minhag of the Parsim, it was Hasheni is Lamal. Now we're going with the Bryce Hasheni is Lamate. Amen. And again, the reason for that is that if the Gadol wants to speak to him, he doesn't have to sit up straight, right? He just looks with his head and he sees the Sheni Lo who's Lamate. Amen. V'zman Shein Shalosh Mitos is Gadol Mesiv Barosh. The Gadol is going to be on the first mita, not the way we said in the Parsim, he's in the middle. And Sheni Lo is Lamala Imenu, Shlishi Lo Lamata Imenu. Oh no, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Mesim and Barosha means that he's the first one to get his mita, and the number two is Lamala Imenu, and the Shlishi is Lamata Imenu. So that we saw already before, but now we're seeing it in the Braisa. The Braisa continues and says, Mayim Rishonim Aschilu Min HaGadol. The Gadol is first to wash Mayim Achronim. And immediately after he washes Mayim Achronim, I'm sorry, we're talking about Mayim Rishonim. So first he gets to wash his hand, and then immediately they bring him the shulchan, he begins to eat. He doesn't have to wait until the others come out. And that again reflects what we saw in the Minhag Parsim. The Braisa continues, Mayim Achronim is Bizman Shehem Chamisha. If there are five people eating at the Su'udah, Maskilim min HaGadol, he is going to wash Mayim Achronim first. That we didn't see until now. U'bizman Shei Mea, if there are 100 people at the Su'udah, and it doesn't mean Mea, it means that there are Rabbim at the Su'udah, more than five, that's already considered Rabbim, then we're not going to start Mayim Achronim with the Gadol, because then they're going to take away his shulchan after he does the tilas mayim achronim, and he's going to have to sit around and wait until everybody else washes. So if it's only five people, then it's not a long time to wait. So therefore, it's more than five. Maschilim in a katan, they'll begin with the katan, and they're not going to be misalch the shulchan if they are gadol, and he's going to, the gadol can continue eating. Ad shemagim etzel Chamish, until they get down to number five, and then once they get down to number five, is Chozu Maskilim and Agadol. The Agadol now does Mayim Achronim, so he'll never have to wait for more than five people. Then the Braisa continues, and it says, as far as Netilas Mayim Achronim, when they get down to five, Ulamakom Shemayim Achronim Chozrim is Lasham Brocha Chozeres. So after they finish, and all the Mesubim have washed Mayim Achronim, they get to the last five, then the first of that five who gets the Mayim Achronim, they were mechabed him to be the first of the five, is L'sham Bracha Choses. He's going to be the one who benches and makes the Birkas HaMazon. If the Gadol is the first of the five, then he's going to be the Mavar. But if he, let's say, asks someone else to be the first of the five, then he's being mechabed him also with Birkas HaMazon. Is Misayele, this is a proof, L'Rav, the Omer of Chiyah Barashi, Omer Rav, called a notel yodu bachrona tchila, hu mezuman lebracha. Now, so who's ever the first of the five to be notel yodu b'mayim achronim, he's going to be the first, he's going to get the covenant of Birkas HaMazon. So we'll just finish up with the next. Is the Gemara says that Rav Rav Chia V'yasu V'sudasi coming to Rebbe. They were sitting together with Rebbe in a Suda. They got to the end of the Suda. Omale Rebbe L'Rav. Rebbe turns to Rav and he says, Kum Mashi Yodo, go and wash his hands. Chazi Kol Merases. Rav Chia notices that his nephew Rav is overwhelmed by fear. He was afraid that Rav, that Rebbe told him to wash his hands because his hands were filthy, or maybe he was eating too long and he told him already stop eating and wash your hands. Omale Rav Chia says to Rav, I'll calm you down. Bar Pati, the son of Gedolim, I am the Birchas the Muslim, the Karmaloka. What he's basically telling you is that since you're going to wash your Mayim Achronim first, you're also going to be the Mevarech, or giving you the cover of Birchas the Muslim, and you should really begin to prepare yourself for Birchas the Muslim. So we're up to Torah Rabbanon here at the end, the last line on Daf Mevav.